From Lake Superior to Lake Minnetonka and the rest of the land of sky blue waters, we are Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket. Wally and Eric back for yet another week as we slice and dice the always busy, always cluttered, always topical Twin Cities sports scene. And it's draft weekend, the Wild on the clock in Florida, where the NHL draft is going on Saturday and Sunday. And, of course, you have the NBA draft, which was conducted on Thursday. And the Timberwolves let it off with Karl Anthony Towns.
I like it. I think it was a safe pick. I think that they went for a character guy that can protect the rim. And, you know, I think they could have rolled the dice a little bit and did what the Lakers did and went after Russell with the number two pick. But I think they have their Russell in, you know, Wiggins and or Rubio. Kind of Russell's a point guard kind of scoring guy, and I think you have that combination if Rubio's healthy and Wiggins certainly is your scorer. So I think they did the right thing. You know, time will tell. It's like anything. You grade these drafts, and all the experts are going to tell you what they think and so on. But for now, looks like a great pick.
Yeah, I mean, and all it is opinion. Yeah. I mean, you're exactly right. 4 or 5 years from now, we can actually offer a thought process on this, good or bad or indifferent. Everybody's huffing and puffing and giving their thoughts on whether or not the Wolves made the right move, the wrong move, or they don't care. But I think you're right. It was the safe pick. And certainly in the workouts, he elevated himself in front of Flip Saunders and Milt Newton and the coaching staff. Jahlil Okafor, I mean, the night the Wolves won the lottery in mid-May, about 5.5 weeks ago, I think the conventional wisdom was Jahlil Okafor. That seemed to be who everybody thought they'd take. Well, Okafor dropped to number 3. Philadelphia got him. As you said, the Lakers got D'Angelo Russell. I still think Russell's going to be huge in the NBA. And I think, wow, he's going to L.A.
It's a good spot.
They've got Kobe. Granted, Kobe's in the twilight of his career, but it'll be similar to KG mentoring Karl Anthony Towns and Wiggins. I mean, you better pay attention to what Kobe does and how he conducts his business. Yeah, and it's Los Angeles, so the Lakers have that pedigree. But the Wolves, they are creating buzz. There's no doubt about it.
Yep.
And they swung that deal later in the round after Cleveland. Your Cavs took Tyus Jones, and they wound up giving the Cavs a couple of twos to get Tyus Jones and bring him back to Minnesota. So what a remarkable story. Tyus Jones 2 years ago playing at Apple Valley High School. Now he's a member of the Timberwolves. I don't think you could make that up.
No, it is an amazing story, and it's great for Tyus. It's great for that Apple Valley basketball program.
That juggernaut.
Oh, my good. Coach Goring's really got it going out there with now Trent Jr. is one of the top recruits in the nation, and he's got Tyus. His brother Trey is a pretty good player himself. They're going to be, you know, they're set for a while there. And Trey is only a sophomore this year. So they're the Apple Valley Eagles have done themselves proud, and it all started with Tyus Jones. You know, that's where it started several years ago when he came in as an eighth grader and started and played all the way through, and you know, 1 year after he leaves Apple Valley, he's in the NBA. So it's a great deal, and you know, hometown boy does good. The last hometown boy that I remember that did good is back in Cleveland, kind of, sort of. From Akron, but right.
Oh, LeBron?
Yeah.
Well, your guy?
Well, yeah.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, LeBron.
That's the one that comes to mind.
Has
to
yet
me.
To bring a title to Cleveland, but yeah, he certainly propped that franchise back up on their feet this season, no question. And it's unique because Minnesota historically has always been looked at as a hockey state. Well, and it is a hockey state. They certainly produce
first round picks.
It's now a hoop state, too. Yeah. Because Rashad Vaughn went 17th overall to Milwaukee in round one. We just talked about Tyus. Gary Trent Jr. is the fourth highest player in the nation, class of 2017. He's got 2 years left at Apple Valley. So there's a lot of talent here in the state of Minnesota.
Yep.
And for two guys to go in round one who were born, you know, on Minnesota soil, native son, so to speak.
Playing their high school basketball here.
Exactly. That's a huge, huge thing for this state. So it continues to show and I think spotlight the progress of prep hoops in the land of lakes. So it was quite a round one, and our friends to the east over there in Badger Land, they had to be happy because Frank Kaminsky went number 9 to Charlotte, and then Sam Decker went later in the draft. I believe he was 18th to Houston. So a couple of Wisconsin Badgers going round one. That's just more ringing praise for Bo Ryan and what he's built over there. I mean, that's good stuff.
Yeah, and it just doesn't happen at the University of Minnesota. I mean, you make the comparisons. I'm sorry, you have to draw those comparisons. And, you know, there is no reason why, as a head coach in the Big Ten, that you can't, you should be able to, it should be apples and apples, but it's not. You know, the Gopher program has been unable to attract that type of athlete for whatever reason, whether it's the facilities or the coaches or the history. I don't know what it is, but they don't go to the University of Minnesota. That has to change.
No, and I think this thing with Jarvis Johnson, the kid from De La Salle, which is unfortunate, the medical deal that he's, you know, having to go, and from what I'm hearing, you know, the family not happy because, you know, the U of M extends the scholarship offer to a De La Salle kid. And I know his uncle well. His uncle runs LA Fitness up in Brooklyn Park, and he told me when he signed with Minnesota, he said, yeah, he wanted to be the guy that stayed home and helped prop the Gopher program back up on their feet. And he took pride in that. And now the U of M is saying, well, you can't play here. You're not medically ready to go. Why didn't they tell him that earlier?
Well, and it's his condition has been known all
exactly.
along.
Exactly. They feel duped.
Well, and I think what happened, you want to know what happened? I think Coach Pitino and or his people saw him play and were not convinced that he could help them win. And so then they reached into their bag of tricks and decided that this is the way we're going to go.
Well, that bag of tricks can come back to haunt you.
I'm telling you. And this state, as you well know, people are very provincial here. And if that gets around, if it's true, which I have a funny feeling it is, and it gets around within the basketball community that this is the way that they dealt with Jarvis, good luck trying to get the next Minnesota kid.
Exactly. And there really has been this elephant in the room over the years with local African-American athletes in the Twin Cities. I know with football, for a long time, they didn't want to go to the U of M because a lot of them got bypassed back in the day. Think about guys like, remember, Russell Gary. He went down to Nebraska.
Oh, yeah.
And Minnesota never looked at him. I know there's been this undercurrent of discontent. And I think, you know, Jerry Kill and that group, they've tried to repair that. But that may be happening now with basketball. And if Richard Pitino and the Gophers did pull some shenanigans, and I don't know for sure what happened, so I don't want to go there. I don't know that. But it sure sounds like something just didn't quite mesh. And I think you hit it on the nose. This will become urban legend, so to speak, and it will harm the Gophers as they try to get that next kid from St. Paul
damage.
Or Minneapolis or even the Burbs. Yeah, exactly.
Good luck trying to get Gary Trent. That's all I can say.
Oh, yeah. And you know, the guys that look at this and probably say good are Bo Ryan, Tom Izzo, and now Coach K. Because Coach K's come in here and mine this state. He got Tyus Jones. They won a title with Tyus and Jahlil Okafor. And like you said, Gary Trent Jr., I mean, he's got some major schools already giving him scholarship offers. One
well,
of them,
Duke.
Yeah, Michigan State, Ohio State, Minnesota. But I think that, you know, he's probably going to go to the Minnesota visit because it's a short trip.
Yeah, exactly. The kid they call JR, by the way, on the team. That's what they call your guy Trent Jr., and he, like you say. But the focus, of course, this past week on Tyus getting selected by the Cavaliers. And then traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves. And that's, you know, it's a great story. And it'll be interesting to see how he fits into the mix for Flip Saunders. They obviously wanted him. I mean, they made a decision that they were going to bring Tyus Jones in. And I don't know where, you know, I don't know what the decision is based on and whether they feel like he's a good, you know, answer if Rubio is hurt or when Rubio is on the bench. Because Rubio is their floor general. I mean, they were a decent team when Ricky Rubio was on the floor. They were terrible without Ricky Rubio. I mean, Ricky Rubio really sees the floor well.
He's
a different kind of point guard.
I'm not sold on him 100% yet.
No, but he's a playmaker. He is not a scorer, but I think he could be the point guard on a good NBA team if he has the pieces around him.
Well, maybe they eventually peddle Ricky Rubio.
No, that could
be
too.
You don't know.
That could be too.
Flip could be you know, doing the Monty Hall thing. Let's make a deal. And there could be more stuff coming up. So I think that it certainly creates a lot of buzz. The Wolves, will have a lot of energy and momentum going into this coming season, which is amazing because they were 16-66 this past season. They were very bad.
Yeah.
Well. So kudos to them for orchestrating this. They won the lottery, and really now you have two building blocks. You have Towns and you have Wiggins. And you also have a lot of young talent in the orbit, such as LaVine, such as Muhammad. I would include Rubio in that, obviously.
Gorgie.
Now you have Tyus, Gorgie Zhang. You have Kevin Martin, a veteran. Kevin Garnett, a veteran. So you still have some veterans. Nikolai Pekovic, I mean, they're stuck with him because of the contract. But, you know, there's really no reason this team should not start getting better right away. But I would caution fans out there by saying this. They are young. I mean, Towns is 19. Wiggins is 20. I believe LaVine is 19. I think Shabazz is 20 or 21. So the core is just unbelievably young. They really are the Timber Pups.
Yeah, they really are. All right, we need to take a break. Oh, before we go to break, speaking of young, I see that you're, and we'll talk more Twins coming up here in the next segment. I see that Alex Meyer is now a Minnesota Twin. I just saw that the Twins decided to bring him up and put him in the bullpen. Wasn't doing so well as a starter down in the minors. They stuck him in the pen, and he's done well there. So hopefully he can fill a hole in that Twins bullpen.
Maybe the bullpen is his niche. And they have to salvage something because every time I look up, Denard Span's doing something for Washington. Yeah, that's the guy they gave up for Alex Meyer. All right, coming up, we're going to hear from Sean McDonough of ESPN and also
a little bit from
Al Moss.
Phil Hughes.
And is Steve Stone going to join us?
Steve Stone as well.
Wow.
Yeah, Rocky has been. This is one of Rocky's award-winning shows.
Rocky's been busy. He's going to want some vacay after this. All right. Yeah. We're Minnesota Score Radio, your Tyus ticket.
From the land of sky blue waters, you're listening to Minnesota Score Radio on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
And we're back, Minnesota Score Radio, your Twins ticket. We've talked some Wolves and gone over that number one draft pick, the lottery, and all that good stuff that happened on Thursday night. But how about the Minnesota Twins? They're in Wisconsin this weekend, the I-94 Interleague Border Battle Series. I know you're thrilled with the Interleague play. They get three more cracks at the Brew Crew, and then they go to Cincinnati.
And they lost 2 out of 3 here to them, correct?
Yeah, they did. That was really the beginning of their unraveling in June, so to speak.
Yeah, and they usually do well against the Brewers. They usually do well in interleague play. I mean, the Twins are one of those teams that traditionally has done well, particularly the last decade or so, in interleague play. And it was odd to see them. And at the time, I believe the Brewers had the worst record in baseball when the Twins went into that little swoon. But the White Sox came to town this week and helped fix that swoon a little bit.
Yeah, what a flawed baseball team the Chicago White Sox are. We got two looks at the Windy City outfits that represent MLB. The Cubs win 2 out of 3. The White Sox lose 2 out of 3. And, boy, they just have trouble making routine plays. They give away a lot of outs. And,
yes.
You know, I haven't seen them play every game, but when I've seen them play against Minnesota, it's usually been a disaster. And that's the reason why they're 9 games below .500 entering, their game Thursday against Detroit. Yeah, they got to go to Detroit and then St. Louis, so it doesn't get any easier.
Yeah, they're just not. I just don't understand how people thought this team was going to win the Central Division. I did not see it at all. And it's our friend Bob Nightingale picked them. The USA Today sports beat writer, baseball beat writer, and he's usually pretty right on about most things. He thought that the White Sox were the cream of the crop in the Central this year. I said, really? He said, he gave me some good reasons, but none of those have turned out very well.
Yeah, he's got a good feel for things. We'll give him a flyer on that one because he's usually right. But, yeah, White Sox have... They're the bottom feeders of the AL Central now. And, you know, I watched Chris Sale pitch on Wednesday. I was at the game at Target Field. And, you know, he pitched pretty well, but he was out-dueled by Phil Hughes. And let's face it, his teammates in the field didn't do him any favors. But this guy's on, like, a strikeout binge. He had 10 Ks. That's 7 straight games now of 10 or more strikeouts.
Yep.
You got to go back to Randy Johnson in 2001, the last time
Correct.
That happened. So he's pitching well, but the Twins have his number. They're 3-1 against Chris Sale. So that's a good thing for the Minnesota Twins. Jeff Samardzija pitched the game on Tuesday. He got the lone victory for the White Sox in the series. And it's funny, when Torrey was batting against Samardzija, I had the thought that there's a little Irish irony there because Samardzija was a wide out and a pitcher at Notre Dame. I remember doing one of his games when he came into the Metrodome when I did baseball play-by-play. And Torrey's kid is a baseball and football player at Notre Dame. So a little Notre Dame angle there.
How old is Samardzija?
He's probably about 8 years in, I'm guessing.
So he's close to 30, 30-ish?
That's just a guess, yeah. But, you know, it's been a few years since I did Gopher baseball, but I remember him being on the mound at the Metrodome, DQ Classic, and, you know, I knew him as a Notre Dame wideout. And all of a sudden he's playing baseball. He did the Eric Decker thing, or the Torrey Jr. thing, whatever you want to call it.
Took his pick, and he went baseball.
He did.
As opposed to Decker, who went football.
Exactly.
Where is Decker going to play this year? He was Jets last year, right?
Yeah, he's still with the Jets.
Still with the Jets?
Yes. He's
Ricori's own?
Exactly. He's with the New York Jets. Todd Bowles, the new head coach, came in from Arizona, defensive coordinator. Yeah,
is Peyton Manning still going to be
he said,
a Bronco?
He said, no Peyton Manning, I'll go play with Geno Smith.
I heard rumors Peyton Manning might be held elsewhere. Any truth to that?
Wow, I don't know a lot about that right now.
The Houston Texans. You don't like that? You don't like that rumor? You don't know anything about that rumor?
Well,
I'm just spewing things that I see.
No, hey, look, everything's fair game. Peyton Manning has done a lot of wonderful things in the regular season for the Denver Broncos, but they haven't won a Super Bowl on his watch.
No.
Now, they got to one, but they were blown off the map by Seattle. And then last year, they lose that home playoff game.
Yeah.
So they were bounced out quickly in the playoffs, and I think it was Indianapolis who knocked them out. Peyton, let's face it, there are games where he looks all his 40 years of age.
There's
no question. He's starting to resemble Brett Favre a little at the tail end of his career. It's hard to keep up that pace.
Yeah. And Favre was way more mobile than Peyton Manning ever has been. You know, even in his advanced stages, Favre was still more mobile than, even though he wouldn't run the football, he at least moved around in the pocket more than Peyton Manning ever has, probably.
And speaking of old football players, I see your buddy Herschel Walker.
What's
I think
he
he's
do
53
now?
Now.
What's he doing
he,
now?
He was on the Boomer Esiason show in New York City last week. He said he could run a 4.3 40 now and could still play in the NFL. You think the Browns want him? Should the Vikings deal for him? Give up some picks?
The Browns picked up Pryor. Did you see that?
Yeah, and then what did he do? Bash the Bengals? Is that what he did or something?
I don't know. All right, switch back to baseball. So what about Hicks? So what if Aaron Hicks has a good rehab assignment? Did they bring him back? I mean, I think that they will. And if they do, who's out?
Yeah, they actually have depth issues in a good way.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I don't want to give up on Hicks.
Rosario's going
playing
nowhere.
Solid.
He's going nowhere.
And,
he's
I've heard people say, well, Kenny Vargas needs to be sent back down. I'm not so sure about that.
I like Vargas,
too, and some people are down on him, but he had a four-hit game, I think, it was the Monday night game, right?
Yeah.
And, look, I just think he needs playing time, too.
Yep. DH him. Get him as many at-bats as you can. I know he's working on being able to lift the ball more, and he did obviously against St. Louis with that walk-off a week and a half ago, and he had the big game on Monday, as you mentioned. I think they need more power numbers out of him. I think one of his hits on Monday was a home run. He hit a home run Monday. One of their four home runs was Vargas. So, and they need power in that lineup. I mean, there's not much. Trevor Plouffe hasn't exactly been knocking him off the bleachers in the outfield.
He's cool. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you hear a lot of rumblings about Miguel Sano maybe coming up eventually. And so,
although Plouffe plays an awfully good third base now. He's very good at third.
I think Trevor Plouffe has kept a little distance between himself and Sano, although it's reminds me a lot of A.J. Pierzynski and Joe Mauer, where Pierzynski played very good at catcher for the Twins, but you knew Mauer at some point was coming up. He was the next great thing. We've already seen it with Buxton, Sano at some point. But, these are decisions the Twins have to make, but I think these are good decisions because it just means you have more talent. And how do you fit it all in?
Well, and maybe they can make a trade to shore up something, someplace that they need some shoring up. They're not getting any power out of first base. We know that, although Mauer did hit a home run on Monday. Kurt Suzuki is certainly not giving them the offense that he gave them last year. You know, there's some places where they could shore things up.
Well, I think, again, if you were to dangle somebody like Trevor Plouffe on the market, even Aaron Hicks probably would get some interest.
Yep.
Not a lot, but somebody would see the potential. Plouffe, I would think, would get you a lot of interest. Question is, do you want to take that risk and deal him?
Probably not yet.
And I'm not advocating that they do, because I'm like you. I like him.
Yep.
But you do have the Sano situation kind of bubbling beneath the surface.
Be interesting to see how that all unfolds. All right. We need to take a break, and Rocky has been busy. He's got you lined up with a few baseball-related guests here.
Yeah, Sean McDonough from ESPN. He was in town Monday night doing the game for ESPN. So we'll visit with him about baseball, golf, college football. He's a go-to guy for all those topics.
And then we're going to hear a little bit from Steve Stone as well, the former Cy Young Award winner.
That's right, with the Baltimore Orioles. And he's part of the White Sox TV broadcast team with the Hawk, Ken Harrelson. By the way, after Monday's game...
Did you see the Hawk at all?
I did see the Hawk. Said hi to him briefly, but this is what makes the Hawk the Hawk. Guess what kind of cap he was wearing? And, of course, the White Sox had lost that night 13-2.
So he didn't have a White Sox
cap. No, he did not.
Let's not forget that one-time general manager, I believe he played for the Sox as well, and has been a broadcaster for about 20, 25 years. What cap was he wearing?
The Hawk was repping the Hawks, the Blackhawks. He had that cap on. And he talked more about the Blackhawks in the two-minute exchange we had as he got on the elevator to leave the ballpark than he did his own team. And for good reason.
Yeah, the White Sox are terrible. All right, let's take a break. We're back with more. You're listening to Minnesota Score Radio, your Twins ticket.
Back to Minnesota Score Radio with Wally Langfellow and Eric Nelson on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
All right, Phil Hughes, where are you at now here as we head toward, the All-Star break's about 2 weeks away. Last year was a breakout season. Do you feel like you're getting back to that pinnacle peak you hit last year?
Well, I sure hope so. I think I'm, kind of going in the right direction. Obviously, the start to the year was, not good for me, but, I can only concentrate on where I'm going. And, hopefully the second half is a good one for me, but, I feel like I'm going in the right direction and gaining a little momentum here.
You had a monster May. June has been a struggle, but you win the series against Chicago, so hopefully some momentum going into Milwaukee and Cincinnati on the road trip.
Yeah, absolutely. It's these road games that are really going to test us and really going to define our season. So we've done what we had to do at home, and that's all good. But we have to put some good road trips together, and hopefully we can do that on this next one.
And in a long season, you're going to face adversity. You saw it early in the season with the 1-6 start. You had it in June, but it seems like you have the leadership in this room to get over the hump when bad things happen.
For sure. There's a lot of guys in here that have been through the ups and downs of successful seasons, and it's not only you don't just go on losing streaks when you're a bad team, but even the good ones do it too. And I think Molly kind of has a very calming influence on this team, and kind of assures guys, okay, we did it the first series, we're gonna go through our bad times here, but as long as we keep our heads up and move on from it, we're gonna be all right.
Your early impressions of Byron Buxton? I mean, he can glide out there in center field. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I know he probably wasn't too happy with his day-to-day at the plate, but selfishly as a pitcher, it's fun to watch him track some balls down out there, because it's not only about the runs that he produces at the plate, but saving them on defense is pretty impressive to watch.
And this defense this season is a lot better than it's been, hasn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Sometimes in the past we've struggled with our defense a little bit, but this year it's been fun to watch. I mean, the guys can really run it down in the outfield. Infield defense has been solid. Kurt always does a great job behind the plate, so it's been fun. Hopefully we can keep it up.
Fun to have Kurt back there as your battery mate. He just seems like a savvy veteran.
Absolutely. I mean, when we get on the same page, it's fun to be out there, and we can kind of just, he doesn't even need to know really what I'm thinking. He just puts it down, and it's always the right call. So when he's on and we're on the same page, it's makes it pretty easy for me.
All right, White Sox broadcaster Steve Stone, Chicago leaves town losing 2 out of 3 to Minnesota. Your impressions of Phil Hughes on Wednesday?
I thought he was throwing more curveballs, and I think he threw them well. He gets everything over the plate anyway, so you can't really go up there taking anything, and I think that certainly helps him. If you take two pitches, you're probably going to be 0-2. At the very worst, it's going to be 1-1. So when a guy has that kind of control, and you know that going up, hitters have a tendency to jump on the first pitch. Consequently, you get a lot of 1- and 2- pitch outs. That kept him going through 8 innings today.
Minnesota, you've seen enough of the Twins now this year to know, are they for real? Can they be in the wild card chase?
I don't think it's a question of being for real. They've got a pretty good, solid ball club. Can you use some more pitching? Sure, there's a lot of people who can. Are you willing to make a trade? Trade any of your good youngsters? No, you're not. So As it goes down, I think this is a year when a lot of teams who wouldn't necessarily be in the race are in the race, because looking all over baseball, not only is it parity, but there's a lot of mediocre ball clubs. There's a lot of teams that have a major problem or two. Consequently, you look at the records. Nobody is really running away and hiding in any division. Most every division is still a race, except a couple of them. But for the wild card, now that you have two of them, it's a possibility for a whole lot of teams.
It seems to be a lot of parity in MLB. Byron Buxton, you get to see him for three games in this series. He had a breakout game on Monday. Just your initial thoughts on this prospect, this phenom.
Well, he was rated either the first or second prospect in all of baseball behind or in front of that kid, Carlos Correa, in Houston. I would love to have either of them. If I had a choice, I'd take Correa, only because, to me, at 6'4", with the power that that kid has, and the speed he has, and the glove he has, and the arm he has, you look like you got a shortstop for probably the next 15 years. I love Buxton. It's hard not to like. He runs like a deer. He can go get anything in center field. So right now he's going to help you immediately. He's going to be overmatched sometimes like he was today. But I think if you talk to the other 29 general managers in the league, they would be more than happy to take him off your hands.
Exactly. The White Sox now 9 games below sea level. You're off to Detroit, then St. Louis. It doesn't get any easier. It looks to me like fundamentally this team is flawed at this point.
No, they can't play defense.
And that's exactly what I've seen in the small sample size, and you see him every day.
You'd have to be Ray Charles not to see it.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay, take care.
Joined now by Sean McDonough from ESPN. Your first look at the prospect, the phenom, Byron Buxton, and you saw maybe his breakout game.
Yeah, he was terrific. I mean, I think you saw just about all of his talents in terms of the speed. You know, he had an infield hit on a routine ground ball to short. He can fly. I'd seen a little bit of that already on TV and some of the highlights. He showed off a great throwing arm. And, you know, he came into the night, I think, 3-for-25 as a major leaguer, and then he had 3 hits. So he was impressive, and I think it was just about at the time where he needed to do something, or they probably might have sent him back down for a little more seasoning. But when you play the way he did tonight, you can do that many things to help the team. He's probably going to be here for a long time.
And the Twins bats had been in a coma, but they wake up big time. So maybe ESPN, the TV crew, was good luck.
Well, I don't know if that's the case, but I hope it means we're back here more often, because I really like coming here. Just a great ballpark, as we said on the air. I think it's one of the best in baseball. And it's nice to see the Twins coming back. You know, for so long, they were such a consistent franchise, and not only in terms of winning, but the way they played the game, you know, with a lot of class and developing their own prospects. And, you know, to see it drop off the way it has the last 4 years or so is pretty tough as a baseball fan who, you know, appreciates all the things that the Twins have represented for so long. So, you know, I think if they're not a contending team this year, they're going to be again soon with all of this young talent that's on the way. To me, the key will be, you know, can the starting pitching continue to go at the level that it has so far this season?
And you're all over the MLB map doing games for ESPN, and your connection with the Red Sox back in the day. Where does Target Field rank as far as top-notch ballparks?
You know, I don't know. Just off the top of my head, to me, the gold standard for this kind of old school, old style ballpark has always been Baltimore, because it was the first one, and a lot of them were mimicked. And, you know, this is one of them that's similar. I think it's really as good as any. And it's, I particularly appreciate it too, because as a broadcaster, it's a very comfortable place to work. And as you know, first and foremost, those of us in the media care about our own comforts more than anything else.
In conclusion, college football, not that far away. The Minnesota Gophers finally played in a New Year's Day bowl game this past season. Are they now a force in the Big Ten, in your opinion?
You know what? One of the few disappointments for me in terms of my schedule the last few years is I haven't done a Minnesota game since Jerry's been the coach, and, you know, what a wonderful job he and his staff have done. I think they are. I think they've built it up to the point now where you expect them to be competitive every week, whereas, you know, for a long time that wasn't always the case. So I'd like to see it. You know, I think it's great for college football, you know, especially in an area like this where people care. You know, the people in Minnesota love the U. And, I'm a big college hockey person. I've always appreciated how well they support the hockey team and the passion that they have for the basketball team. You know, this is a great sports area, and they love their Gophers, and I'd love to see them do well.
Sean, great to catch up.
friendship with you and continued success.
Thanks, Eric. Always good to see you, my friend. Thank you.
All right.
The Twin Cities home for Minnesota Score Radio is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Now back to Wally and Eric.
Welcome back. Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket. Joined now by Hall of Fame fisherman Al Moss as we dig into our weekly Leech Lake fishing report. Al, you know, we're probably not in the dog days of summer, but the heat of summer is starting to come upon us. How's the movement of the fish? Have they gone deep yet? What are your thoughts right now?
Well, they're not real deep yet, Wally, but they have definitely scattered out to the flats and to the rock reefs into the middle of basin of the lakes. There's still some shallow fish when the wind blows, but the major movement definitely has gone out there. I guess we could say that if you were coming to Leech Lake, I would look to the area between Pine Point and Big Hardwood. There's a bunch of bars and flats out there, and they're producing a lot of walleyes. People are pulling spinners yet in that zone. And then we find the Sucker Bay way out to the outside of the cabbage bed, 13, 14 feet of water, seem to be holding fish. And people there are doing the same thing. They're pulling crawlers, not necessarily going with a spinner, but fishing crawlers and leech is very slow. That's been good. Then you go to the middle of the lake, the major basin, and definitely going to the rocks around the Pelican area. So looking at submarine, annex, all of the reefs out there in the middle of the bay, between Stony Point, actually, and Battle Point, and all of them have fish on it. Those fish, or those reefs will go from 5 feet down to probably 20 feet. And the fish in a bright day like today, they're going to be out there in 15 feet of water. There's a trench out there called Paris's Trench, runs for a long ways. Pulling spinners across that has been highly productive, too. So that's what's going on walleye-wise and catching plenty of walleyes. The guys, I talked to a few of them who are fishing crankbaits, and we should tell people that, you know, if you're shallower than 10 feet, fish at number 5, then go to 7s next. And if it's flat, go to the outside, obviously. If you've got a wind over the top, you can drag those crankbaits right over the top of the rocks. Definitely go to patterns of Leech Lake, which would be crayfish-colored or shiner-colored. Some of the stuff with the purple back is working good, too, Wally. So overall, you know, we're catching walleyes. The night bite is just beginning, meaning 5 o'clock to dark, and that will be stepped up this week. I'll bet you we'll see 60 boats out, 70 boats in Walker Bay.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a quick break when we come back. I know you tried some bass fishing this week. I want to talk a little bit about that, and we'll talk about the pike when we come back. You're listening to Minnesota Score Radio and our Leech Lake Fishing Report. We're back right after this timeout.
Attention fishermen. Sugar Point Resort is fishing central on legendary Leech Lake. Sugar Point has a large protected harbor offering full gas and bait services with a wide choice of rental boat and motor combinations or a slip for your own boat. Sugar Point is also a great place for your family vacation with 1, 2, or 3 bedroom fully furnished modern cabins with beautiful lake views. And they also have complete campground facilities at Sugar Point. Sugar Point is a great place for kids with 2 playground areas, paddle boats, basketball, volleyball, and an enclosed heated pool. So what are you waiting for? This summer, make it a trip to remember at Sugar Point Resort on Leech Lake. Visit them online at sugarpoint.com.
For a memorable experience this year with some of the best fishing you'll find anywhere, make plans for Agency Bay Lodge on beautiful Leech Lake. Agency Bay Lodge is uniquely located on a peninsula that juts out in the center of Leech Lake, where you'll have easy, quick access to the best fishing spots on the lake. The staff at Agency Bay Lodge will help you locate where the fish are biting. Their full-service dock offers fueling, bait, and modern, fully equipped boat rentals. Come and stay in their comfortable lakeside log cabins, or if you're not fishing, stop and enjoy a pizza, sandwich, or a beverage at their lakefront bar. For the best fishing and a great vacation, remember Agency Bay Lodge on Leech Lake. For more information, visit them at www.agencybaylodge.com.
Welcome back, Minnesota Score Radio, as we continue along with our Leech Lake fishing report with Al Moss. Okay, Al, you mentioned to me that you had done some bass fishing this week. What's the key to catching bass right now?
Well, you're seeing the bass, too, starting to move from the shallow areas, from their spawning beds and stuff, into the cabbage beds, the cane, anything that's got heavy cover. Leech Lake is noted for its largemouth bass to be into the wild rice, and that's the wild rice right now is in what we call the difficult stage because it's emerged out of the water, but it's bent over, so part of it is laying on top. So if you're going to fish the wild rice, what you have to do now is take spoons like the Northland Jawbreaker or the Walker, anything, moss boss, frogs, toads, something across the top that's weedless, and then your bass will come up and take it out of there. If you get a blowout and you can't catch them on that, follow up back with a worm a weedless worm or a tube or a pig in a jig, that seems to be productive. But the bass are definitely moving into those zones. And as far as the smallmouth are concerned, they're in all the rock areas. So if you're fishing leeches and crawlers, you're probably going to pick up some smallmouth out in those rock reefs, Wally.
Yeah, what about the pike? Still going strong?
Pike are doing fine because you're catching them in the same spots as you're catching them with the bass.
Yeah.
However, if you're looking for big pike, go deep. Pull crankbaits. I would do that in fishing in 20 feet of water. Probably you're going to get some of those 10, 12-pounders. That's where they are. They've moved out to the deeper zones, and that's where they're chasing Ciscos and whatever they can find.
All right. Good stuff, Al. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Sounds good.
All right. Al Moss with our Leech Lake Fishing Report right here on Minnesota Score Radio. Eric and I will be back to wrap things up right after this. Time out. Stay with us.
From the land of sky blue waters, you're listening to Minnesota Score Radio on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
And we're back to wrap it up. Minnesota Score Radio, your wild ticket. We've talked a lot of Wolves and the NBA draft lottery. We've gotten into the Twins.
And before we go into wild, a thought occurred to me as we're talking all this Timberwolves. When you look back, what would you say is the top draft pick of the Wolves in the first round that kind of sticks in your craw the most? If you look back at all the drafts they've had over the, 25 years, is there one that stands out to you that says, oh, my gosh, how in the world did they do? I know there's a lot of them. Oh, boy. Is there one that bothers you more than any other?
Well, I was going to say drafting Brandon Roy and then peddling him for Randy Foy and some cash, because that blew up in their face.
No.
Brandon Roy for about 3 or 4 years was a stud in Portland.
Until he got hurt.
He broke down.
And then he came here and got hurt again.
He was even more broke down.
Yes.
But based on what just happened about a week and a half ago at the expense of your Cleveland Cavaliers with Golden State winning the NBA title.
I know where you're
Curry
going
being
this.
The MVP. I got to go back to 09 when they had three picks in the lottery, and they took Johnny Flynn, Ty Lawson, and Ricky Rubio and said, I don't think we want this Steph Curry kid. I think that really has blown up in their face.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. Instead of taking Steph Curry, you took Johnny Flynn. I mean, to me, that's, boy, if that's not the top, it's right there. Indy Eby.
Yeah, that was certainly one of their low water moments. Supposedly Kevin McHale saw him on TV and became enamored with him. I don't know if that's true, but Kevin, always a better coach than a GM.
Yeah.
I think we know that.
Yeah,
pretty good coach in Houston.
Rashad McCants, is he still in the league? He's not in the league.
I don't think
anymore,
so, no.
Yeah, I mean, they've had a lot of first round players that just haven't even made it.
Yeah, that didn't work out at all. It's been a disaster. And you have to hope that they're...
Hope this one works out.
Yeah, hope this one works out. And you know, some of it's bad luck, some of it's bad decision-making. They can blame themselves for a lot of their own problems. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah. Well, they didn't pick Anthony Bennett, but I wonder about Anthony Bennett, too.
Well,
that was the Cavs pick, but... I mean, he was kind of the consensus number one guy, and he is. I'd say this has got to be his year, or he's going to be termed a bust.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and there have been reports the Wolves have dangled him. You know, 2 years ago, this is the number one pick in the NBA draft. So it just goes to show you there's no guarantees.
I know. I guess that's the point I was trying to make. All right, let's move on. We've talked enough hoops. The Wild, kind of a busy week, even though Wild really didn't do anything, but Devin Dubnyk, you know, the negotiations have begun. And he's got another plus in his column. He wins the Masterton Award, the Masterton Trophy. You know, obviously, Devin Dubnyk saved the Wild this year. No pun intended. I mean, he was, you know, they were, 9 points out of the playoffs when he arrived. And they make a run and actually win a round in the playoffs before getting ousted again. But, I think that it's been... And there's no question that they have to get this guy signed.
Yeah, I would agree. That's my thought process as well, although I've heard two schools of thought. And, by the way, he was third in the Vezina trophy,
yeah,
running behind Pekka Rinne and Carey Price. Carey Price won the Triple Crown. He won the Lindsay, the Vezina, and the Hart.
The Hart is
pretty
MVP,
good.
Correct?
Yes, and the Lindsay is most outstanding player. What the difference is, I'm not sure, but they had the awards out in Vegas where they'll soon have a team someday.
Yeah, I see that. I see that they've opened the door now to adding more teams, expansion teams. You see that? They're going to exploratory now?
Yeah.
In other words, they're going
to
do it.
Vegas will get a team, I'm sure of that. Seattle should try to get one. And they can get a building.
Seattle and Quebec City are the other two suitors right now. I would say two of those three are probably going to get a team.
How about two expansion teams and one relocation? Can you say Florida Panthers?
Yeah.
I know they say they're committed to Sunrise, Florida, but give me a break.
Yeah, where are they going to?
That's a soft market.
Yeah.
Miami. But the Dubnyk thing's interesting. Had a chance this week. Visited with Lou Nanny, the former North Stars GM hockey icon, and then Mike Greenlay, who does the games, and you know both those guys as well. Lou Nanny, he says, I wouldn't mortgage my future for Dubnyk. If I can get him on my terms, fine. If not, I'll go get another goalie. He thinks the sample size is too small and that he struggled in the playoffs. Obviously, Lou knows a lot more hockey than I do. Mike Greenlay, who knows quite a bit as well and is a former goalie, he thinks they need to sign Dubnyk. That, yes, they were on life support when he came on board after that deal with Arizona. And I think he won over the room. I think guys like Parisi and Suter and Koivu and Halla and, you know, Zucker, the whole gang, I think they really got into the Dubnyk thing because he made their job easier. So I still think they got to find a way to sign him. But be careful if you give him a big multi-year deal with a lot of money in a salary cap sport. That's what Lou Nanny's trying to say.
And then how much do you have to spend on your other three or four guys that you still need to sign?
Exactly. And then you also have to identify, if you don't sign him, who's out there. Because a year ago, what were you and I talking about?
You better have a goalie.
Right. And what do you need to win big in the NHL?
Yeah, you got to have
a goalie, right?
You got to have goaltending.
So there are three or four guys out there. I think the Rangers have a goalie named Cam Talbot. He backs up Henrik Lundqvist. He might be out there, and he's been looked at as maybe a potential free agent. But I don't know. I just think it felt pretty good with Dubnyk. I know the playoffs he didn't shine, but I don't think he's the reason they lost to Chicago. They got beat by Chicago because they're not as good as Chicago.
Chicago's the best team in hockey. That's why they got
beat
by Chicago.
They're a dynasty. So I hope they get him signed. I think they need to.
Yeah. Wild schedule came out. That was the other piece of info that came out this week. They open up on October 8th in Colorado. They open up at home 2 days later against St. Louis. So hockey's not that far away.
I know. Isn't it amazing? It just ended. Well, you know, look, the NFL has set the template here. Stay in the news cycle as much as possible.
Round.
And I don't like it for any sport. I think you need to go away and you know, get off the grid for a while so you're fresh when it starts again. But that's not the way it works. Certainly the NFL never goes away. Look at the NBA. They just ended their season. The draft was Thursday night. Free agency's July 1. That'll be a big thing. That'll keep them in the news. Same thing with the NHL. They just ended their season. Draft is this weekend. Free agency's July 1. So, and as you said, you're starting up in early October.
Wow. And preseason for them starts in September.
Yeah.
Why did the NHL, and there was no Olympics this year, why did the NHL start a month before the NBA and finish at the exact same time? How did that happen?
That is a good question.
What in the world? They must have drawn out their postseason too long. That's the only thing I could think of. You know, they had 2, 3, 4 days in between games in the postseason at times.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, I think they use the NBA model a lot. And, you know, Gary Bettman used to be in the NBA, so that's not a surprise. And they did also tweak the overtime rules. They're going to have three on three.
Three?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They want to eliminate some of those shootouts.
Well, I would like to see them eliminate that altogether, but
they didn't address eliminating a point even if you lose. That's still in play.
Yeah, why do they do that? Play three on three?
To keep everybody in the playoff mix. Artificial contention. Get fans in the building late in the year. I don't know.
I don't understand that. If you win, you win. If you lose, you lose. What's new about that?
I'm with you. I think that hurts hockey, and it makes these teams play a different style of hockey, especially late in the season where they want to just get at least the point. And as we saw, it's tougher to jump past teams when you get into a hole because of the three-point games. Even though the Wild did do a good job of digging out of their hole thanks to Devin Dubnyk.
So they're going to go 3-on-3 for 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Is that the deal?
Yeah. And the thought process has to be that, you know what, with with more open ice, somebody's bound to score. There's going to be a breakaway or whatever.
I understand the thought, and I guess I'd rather have that than a shootout.
Yeah, I would too.
But why does the NHL have to go to gimmickry? What's the deal? Why can't you just play the game, and if you win, you win?
They really shouldn't, because I think the sport right now is at its apex.
Yeah, I
think they have lured in fringe fans. I think it helps the teams in L.A. and Anaheim. And
fringe fans or French fans?
Tampa Bay? Both.
Oh, okay.
I meant fringe. But, you know, Tampa Bay went to the finals. The Kings have won a couple of cups. The Ducks are good. I mean, you have some of these Sun Belt teams getting into hockey. We know about markets like the Twin Cities and Chicago and Boston and all the Canadian cities. So their TV ratings aren't bad. NBC does a solid job of the broadcast. So they don't need gimmicks.
No, I agree. I'm stunned that a sport like, I mean, it'd be like having a home run hitting contest instead of going to extra innings in a baseball game.
No, you're right. You're right. By the way, have you voted for your favorite Kansas City Royal yet to play in the All-Star?
Oh, you're going to start that on me again, huh? Unbelievable. It's not going to change. I see that Miggy Cabrera has passed Hosmer at first base. But there's still seven of the nine starting lineup for the American League will be Kansas
City.
And
Omar Infante has more votes than Jose Altuve, correct?
Yes, he does.
And that right there is the spotlight you need to shine on.
Well, and that one's close. That one could change. But there are several of them that are not going to change. I'll tell you that right now.
Here's the irony.
I think Trout is the only non-Royal outfielder. I believe Trout leads in the outfield or is one of the three outfielders. And then, as you said, or as I said earlier, Miggy Cabrera, and then the other seven are Royals.
But here's what I find ironic.
That's just dumb.
As you know, winner of the All-Star game gets home field in the World Series. Now, AL had it last year. Royals had the home field for Game 7. It didn't pan out. Giants won the series because they had Madison Bumgarner. Yeah. But in theory, the Royals could go back to the World Series. Do you agree? They are one of the top teams in baseball.
I agree.
So let's say they trot out all these Royals in the All-Star game, and the American League is not as strong as the National League and loses that game, therefore giving the NL home field, and the Royals get to the World Series, and they lose home field. Be careful what you wish for, Kansas City. That could happen.
Yeah.
Oh, and I hope it does now.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
And I love the Royals and their stadium, and their fans are excited. I get that, but it could backfire.
Didn't think of that. I think what Major League Baseball needs to do, first of all, you got to bag this online-only voting. And when you vote online, one vote per email address. One vote per email address. So you can still vote online. Let's not eliminate the online because it's, you know, they want to draw people to the website. I get all that. But put the ballots back into the stadiums.
Yes.
Kids like going and punching the little chads out, the hanging chads.
Yep.
I mean, put them back in the stadium. That's part of the fun of going to the stadium in, you know, in May and June is voting for your favorite player. You're sitting at the game voting for your favorite player. It doesn't cost that much. Major League Baseball has enough money to pay for paper ballots for another, you know, another season. And I think if they do it that way, you won't get this rigged online voting that you have now. It's ridiculous. And you still have the in-stadium balloting as well. Baseball is different. The game means something. I think that they should reconsider the way they're doing it. Enough?
And it'll be, you're fine. You made a good point. They're in Cincinnati, too, July 14th at Great America Ballpark. And
your Twins are in Cincinnati next week.
They are. They are.
You going?
I'd like to, but I don't think I'll make the trip. It's a nice ballpark.
Yeah.
A little steamy in Cincinnati this time of year. But will Pete Rose be at that All-Star game?
He's kind of
a body blow the other day when ESPN came out with their report.
Yeah. All right. We need to wrap things up. A reminder, visit our website. It's minnesotascore.com, home to the Minnesota Score magazine. You can subscribe right online. Just $19.95 for 1 year of the Minnesota Score. And be sure to visit our website. Again, minnesotascore.com for sports headlines and blogs and all that good stuff.
All right, let's FedEx out those thank yous. One goes to Rocky, also one to Steve Stone and Sean McDonough.
For and Almos.
Almos, absolutely. Somewhere on a lake.
Well, he's on the land of lakes. I guarantee he's on Leech Lake right now.
All right, for Wally Langfellow, I'm Eric Nelson saying so long. We are Minnesota Score Radio, your All-Star ballot ticket.